A woman shall not be clothed with man's apparel, neither shall a man use women's apparel. For he that doth these things is abominable before God. Deuteronomy 22:5. There were also the effeminate in the land, and they did according to all the abominations of the people. 3 Kings 14:24. And I will give children to be their princes, and the effeminate shall rule over them. Isaiah 3:4. If anyone lie with a man as with a woman, both have committed an abomination, let them be put to death, their blood be upon them. Leviticus 20:13. Name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is the 26th day of the fourth month, year 2015, and it's the third Lord's Day after the resurrection. Welcome to Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey's Three Ring Circus. The title of this lecture is Transgender Freaks. Now, this past week in the United States of America, we got bombarded with transgender newscasts pushing this horrible freaks on the public. Now, if anybody doesn't know what transgender is, that's when a man tries to become a woman and a woman tries to become a man. We call it the he-she-she-he syndrome, right? We call them its. So basically, that's what that is. And along with the homosexuals and homosexual marriages, we have transgenders. People trying to change their sexes from what God made them to be, which is an abomination to the highest degree. We read in Deuteronomy 22:5, a woman shall not be clothed with man's apparel, neither shall a man use a woman's apparel. For he that doth these things is abominable before God. That's just wearing woman's clothes, and a man wearing a woman's clothes, or a woman wearing man's clothes. This is different. They go even further. That's bad enough. That's worthy of death penalty. And it is. These people are actually trying to change their whole sex. Men are trying to take shots to get breasts. The women are cutting their breasts down and taking male hormones so they can grow beards. So they really want to try to change their sex. That's what transgenderism is about. And you know we're living in the final days when these freaks can come out so publicly as they have in the last week and get away with it. And it was all over every major network this week. And when I'm going to start quoting the evidence from you, you got to ask yourself a question. How could every one of these networks coordinate with themselves to get this all to come out in 1 week if there's not one person ruling the whole world called the Antichrist, working through the Jews and the Freemasons to get this crap thrown in our eyes, and they're trying to shove it down our throat and the throats of our children and everybody else so you can get more transgender freaks sprouting up. And that's what's going to happen because they're justifying it. And so here, right now, we first caught this on, and I'm going to go through the evidence. This was on the 21st day of the fourth month, 2015, last week, and it was on NBC's National Nightly News with Lester Holt. And what they advertised it, and they said, we're going to show you how these parents turned their little girl into a little boy. Now, this is even worse. We're not even talking about adults doing this. Parents turning their little kids from boys to girls and girls to boys. All right? So when I heard this, I said, what? This is on the news? This is disgusting. Parents are now turning their little boys into girls and their little girls into boys. Remember what our Lord said in OC 4:6, because thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will forget thy children. I will turn your children over to demons of lust, demons of homosexuality, demons of alcoholism, demons of drug addiction, demons of transgenderism. And so you do have these little kids being born. And when they come to the use of reason, their first thoughts are the boy says, I want to be a girl. The girl says he wants to be a boy because he's possessed by a demon that is telling him and inspiring him to act like a girl and to be a girl. It's demonic possession. They weren't born that way. God, when you're born a boy by God, you're a boy. When you're born a girl, you're a girl, and you can't change that. No matter what you do, you can't change that. There's no way that somebody who was born a boy can have a baby, and there's no way that a woman who was born a woman could act like a man and have the seed to make a baby. Impossible. It doesn't happen. You are what God made you. The reason you think you're not that way is because you got demons possessing you, and you're living in a faithless world, and that's your and society now, because you're starting to promote and justify these people, it's going to spread like a cancer even further. Just like the tattoos spread in the sports players. They all got tattoos now. So now they're pushing transgenderism. And you had to believe. I said, we got to look at this news report. I cannot believe this. What are we talking about here? And this was on, it was Kate Snow who reported it. And it's called, I Wanted to Be a Boy. And so, and the, it's a life as a five-year-old transgender child. It says, Kate Snow hears from a family who describes her emotional decision to allow their young daughter to transition into boyhood. Jacob LeMay started life as Mia, but his parents let him transition to a boy last summer after getting the advice of professionals. Now, these people are all getting their advice from their psychologists and psychiatrists, and they're telling them, don't let him, you're inhibiting him, you're holding him back. He was born a boy, but he has the soul of a woman. Let him be a girl. By not letting him be a girl, he's going to go through life tormented. It's the complete opposite. By them allowing to do this, he's going to be even worse. There's a high suicide rate among these people anyway, and deservedly so. And instead, they encouraged their little girl to be a boy. And they didn't understand it's a curse from God. It's not correct. You got to punish him, and you can force him, at least, even if he doesn't want to do it, never to act like a girl. And pray for him. And you got to ask God to help you because it's demonic possession. You never allow this thing to happen. Well, the psychiatrists are promoting and telling him you're actually doing wrong by not letting your little boy be a girl. Now, he had, when he was a girl, and he still is a girl, there were three sisters. Now there's only two sisters and one boy. Can you imagine what the two sisters were like? They were calling him their sister, then they got to go from calling him their sister to a boy. Now it's a boy and two sisters. It's a freak show. It's Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey, Three Ring Circus freak show. And you look at these filthy, stinking parents who, if it was a Catholic country, would be killed on the spot. Killed on the spot for doing this to their kid. And doing it in public on TV and encouraging other people to do it. You look at the clip of this news report right now.
Tonight, we're taking a closer look at something that's been getting a lot of attention recently, the subject of being transgender. We've seen adults share their stories on television shows and in magazines, but rarely do we hear from the youngest members of the transgender community. Tonight, our national correspondent Kate Snow is here with one family's very personal story. Kate?
Lester, good evening. By some estimates, there are 700,000 adults in the U.S. who are transgender. And while we don't know the exact number of children, increasingly families are going public with what it means to be a transgender kid. Five-year-old Jacob LeMay is fierce. He loves karate and dogs and spaceships and playing with his sisters.
So two sisters, and you're the brother, right?
Yeah.
Were you always the brother?
Not always.
What were you before?
They're a sister.
How come it changed?
Because I wanted to be a boy.
Okay. In the beginning, Mimi and Joe LeMay were raising three girls. But when Mia was around two, she started saying, I'm a boy.
Did you think it was a phase?
I hoped it was a phase.
Mia learned to write her name, but would immediately scribble it out. Jacob still remembers.
I didn't like to write that name. I wanted to write J-A-C-O-B.
Jacob?
Yeah.
J-A-C-O-B. I hoped that this obsession with being a boy would go away.
But it only grew stronger. The LeMays went searching for answers.
Her need to play boy roles and her need to be seen or spoken to as a boy at home became very persistent and very consistent. Those are the hallmarks of a possibly transgender child. Consistence, persistence, and insistence. And she was meeting all those markers.
Pediatrician Dr. Michelle Forcier says gender identity is formed very early.
It's not a fad or a phase. And I tell parents that even though they may feel or want to believe that.
Last spring, the LeMays went to Disney World and let their four-year-old dress as Prince Charming. After agonizing for years, Mimi and Joe say they knew it was time to listen to their son.
I explained to him that we can bring you to a new school and everyone will know you as a boy from the beginning. Right then, he said, that's what I want.
He said, I want to be a boy always. I want to be a boy named Jacob. Mm.
And so last June, they cut his hair short, asked family and friends to call him Jacob, and let him live publicly as a boy.
People are going to hear your story and think 4 is really young. Mm-hmm.
But a mother's heart knows when her child is suffering.
We have a long history of children who have been shut down and told, no, you can't be a boy, or no, you're not a girl. We know those kids suffer, and there's a host of bad health outcomes and psychiatric outcomes.
People who are transgender face a greater risk of anxiety and depression, and according to a 2011 survey, a startling 41% had attempted suicide.
So would you tell parents that in some ways it's riskier to wait?
Absolutely. In fact, what I say, the biggest harm is to do nothing.
Ultimately, Jacob has made that choice in his mind and his heart. Mm-hmm. It's whether or not we accept it or not.
Accept it, that's right.
And now, Jacob says he's proud of who he is.
What are you proud of about yourself?
Because I'm a boy.
Okay.
I want him to know how proud I am of him, how brave I believe he is, and how no matter what, I am in his corner. And I love him. And I always will. Because he's my son.
Now, the very next day, and they advertised this on 422, they said, we're going to show you a boy who we're going to turn into a girl. That was the next day. On NBC News, Nightly News with Lester Holt, and it was a Kate Snow report. Congressman Mike Honda's transgender granddaughter makes him proud. He's a congressman. This is who's running our country, these freaks. Now look, it says U.S. Representative Mike Honda is a proud grandpa of little Melissa, who was assigned male at birth. Assigned male at birth. By who? Created male at birth, and you're trying to make him into a girl. Honda says of his granddaughter, I hope she can feel safe at school without fear of being bullied. Bullied? I'll kill the bastards that do this stuff. This is worthy of death penalty. More than just being bullied. More than just getting your head punched out. This is death penalty when you do this stuff. And you're lying to other people. Think what you're doing. You got your kid telling other people he's a boy when he's a girl, or a girl when he's a boy, and you're lying to the general populace. It's a black lie, and it's a sin against God. It's a sin against the faith. It's a sin against nature. One of the highest sins against nature. And it says, NBC national correspondent Kate Snow reports, and in an emotional interview, Travis Phillips and Michelle Honda Phillips talk about why they decided to allow their 8-year-old child to transition. We go to the clip.
We're back now with more on our special series on transgender kids. Last night, we introduced you to 5-year-old Jacob and his family. The response has been overwhelming. We've heard from so many of you on social media. Tonight, we meet a child a little bit older than Jacob, 8-year-old Melissa. Her story first received national attention because of a message from her grandfather. Our national correspondent Kate Snow continues her reporting.
Here's this one.
Yeah, you got it.
8-year-old Melissa Phillips and her grandpa spend a lot of time together.
Okay. This is like this.
She and her brothers call him Ji-chan, Japanese for grandfather. Back in February, he posted a photo of the two of them on Twitter.
As a proud grandpa of a transgender grandchild, I hope she can feel safe at school without fear of being bullied. What's that?
The tweet got a lot of attention because Mike Honda isn't just a grandfather. He's a United States congressman.
You have a very public job, member of Congress, and you can choose to keep some things private. Why did you decide to make this public?
Sure. I think that there's a time when you have to determine when there's a good teaching moment.
Melissa's story begins with an ultrasound. That's when Michelle and Travis were told they were having a boy.
We went with, okay, well, this is our second boy. Here we go. And then around 18 months, 2 years, she just started sister, daughter, pink, sparkles. She always wanted to role play as the girl. All her toys and all her presents were always, you know, from the girl section, you know, everything was pink. Her self-portraits have always been with long hair and as a princess, you know, she's always wearing a dress in her self-portraits. We noticed the moment everything clicked.
when she was six. It was Halloween, and our friend had given her a wig to wear with her Halloween costume, and she put it on and saw her reflection in the sliding glass, and then in the TV, and everywhere she turned, she saw herself, and she just sat up straighter, and she started kind of posing and realizing, this matches, you know, she's never had the long hair before, and that's kind of when I feel like she switched over, and one of our neighbors had, you know, we hadn't met them yet, and told Zachary, oh, your sister's such a good big sister, because she had helped him up, you know, to get his trick-or-treat candy, and she just beamed.
I saw the person who I really was. They didn't understand at first, then they started to understand, and let me be who I was.
Then, a day later, on 4/23, on PBS's NewsHour with Gwen Ifill, a bunch of witches on here, mostly women, a few faggy little guys they let on here to make it look like they let men get on there, but they're a bunch of witches. Anyway, they had on that news report two things. One was, it called PBS NewsHour by Harry Srinivasan Report, The Quiet Revolution Behind the Word Transgender. And he had some transgenders on there, in particular one guy he was centering on. No, one girl. See what I mean? This is going to be complicated, folks, please. Now, it was a woman who became a guy. And this particular woman who's a guy, thinks she's a guy now, looks just like a guy. This one does. Must took the shots, got a beard here. You would never know that this particular person was a woman, and still is, really, but now is masquerading as a guy. Well, he's sitting and listening to this guy, and he's sympathizing with him. He's going through his life struggles, and it's like these people are not only are these people now normal to them, but they're even extra normal. They're exceptional, you know, and they're encouraging these people, and the psychiatrists are coming on and saying how much better it is for him to liberate himself. You know, if God wanted to make him a man, he would have made him a man, but he didn't. You see, this is an offense against God to the highest degree. Now, so that was the first thing on PBS, all right? And we're going to go to the clip on that right now and show you the clip on that one.
First in an occasional series on changing attitudes about being transgender in America. A new survey from the Human Rights Campaign shows more Americans, 22%, say they know or personally work with a transgender person. That's up 17% from a year ago. Hari Srinivasan has the story of one person's transition and his efforts to change thinking and perceptions.
It's really nice to see that written into the rule book, yeah. And to see the words like gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender students at Choate. It's yeah. Like, oh, they exist. It seems like the simplest thing in the world, but it can be.
Alex Myers was one of the speakers. He's the first conference presenter to be transgender, and he uses his life story as a way of educating others about transgender issues. Alex grew up as Alice in the small rural town of Paris, Maine. He went to boarding school at Phillips Exeter Academy in New Hampshire, and in the summer between his junior and senior years came out as transgender, a first for the school. In 1996, he was also the first openly transgender student to attend Harvard University, and he worked to change the university's non-discrimination clause to include gender identity. 12 years ago, Alex married Ilona in a same-sex ceremony in Vermont. When his gender was legally changed to male, they had a second ceremony to ensure their union was by the book. At Choate, Myers' story resonated with students.
I just really admire him. I think it's really cool that he was able to do that in high school and to be able to come back. I mean, in 1994, to be able to go to a place where he was the first ever person to do that, I just think that's incredibly brave.
Society told me I was a girl. My parents told me I was a girl. I wasn't going to think that they were wrong, at the same time as I always felt I was, or I wanted to be, or I should be, a boy. And transgender as a word is a really powerful sort of force in my life. It wasn't until I heard that word, it wasn't until I saw people who lived as transgender that I got, oh, that's how you do it.
What was it to hear about the fact that you weren't strange, or you weren't
feeling... Oh, I am strange. Let me correct that notion. And happy being so. Yeah, it was exactly that. I think validation is the right word. That other people felt the way that I felt, and suddenly it was like there was a door where I had previously seen a wall. I haven't had surgery. I have no plans to have surgery, but I do take testosterone. So I'm both female in the sense that I'm genetically female. In many ways, I'm biologically female, but in some ways, I'm not, and I live as a man. So there's a disconnect some people might say, between my biological sex and my gender identity. And that, to me, is what it means to be transgender. When you can see it in your own town, when you can see, oh, that's how, you know, a lesbian couple raises a child, all of a sudden it's very different, whether you share that identity or you don't. All of a sudden they're people, and they're not abstractions. They're not something that's sensational on TV or something you read about in a newspaper, but they're people that you live next to, and they become human beings.
For the NewsHour, I'm Hari Srinivasan in Washington.
Now, on the next clip of the same NewsHour, a little bit later in that hour, they had that freak Barney Frank on there. I don't know if anybody knows about Barney Frank, but he was, well, was a United States, I'll read what it says here. He's a homosexual. He's the first one that came out. Was he a congressman or a senator?
I think a congressman.
He's the first congressman to openly come out as a homosexual. Barney Frank, another freak, another homosexual faggot. Queer, call him whatever you want, but don't call him anything nice like gay or don't put a good name on it, all right? Anyway, they had a whole thing on about his coming out as a homosexual and his whole, on the same news hour. It says, how Barney Frank used government to fight inequality. For more than half a century, Barney Frank was one of the Americans' loudest voice for progressive policies. And it goes on, but he talks about Frank, a life in politics from the Great Society to same-sex marriage. And he talks about same-sex marriages and all that. We'll go to the clip, and this was on the same news hour.
Next, a profile of a crusading voice on financial reform who also became a public figure in the debate over gay rights. It's the story of former Congressman Barney Frank, son of a mob-connected New Jersey father. He went on to Harvard and to volunteer as a freedom writer in Mississippi. His public and private story, including his long tenure as a lawmaker, is the subject of his new autobiography. Economics correspondent Paul Solomon caught up with him in Boston for tonight's installment of Making Sense, which airs every Thursday on the NewsHour.
For 32 years, perhaps the country's most controversial, quick-witted congressman, Barney Frank. The revolution in attitudes towards government and sexuality.
So you start out government in high repute, homosexuality.
In low repute.
Contemptible.
Yes.
And now it's...
Well, as I've said, by the time I retired in 2012, my marriage to my husband Jim got a much better public response than my chairmanship of the committee that wrote the financial reform bill.
When Frank began his political career here at Boston City Hall, it was unheard of to be openly gay, so he remained in the closet. A bright-eyed Harvard School reformist assistant to Boston Mayor Kevin White in 1968. His government goals?
Personal freedom, an end to discrimination, particularly race at that time, because gay rights wasn't even on the agenda, and diminishing economic unfairness.
Were you already conflicted about fighting for these things while yourself hiding the fact that you were gay?
Yes. I didn't feel the conflict so much at first because it was just such a one-sided question. There was no possibility of being openly gay and having any kind of an impact on the rest of society. It just was so overwhelmingly anti. Remember, I already brought a lot of unconventionality to the table.
Yeah.
I was from New Jersey. I talked too fast. I came from a Harvard PhD program, and I'm Jewish.
Now, the very next day, on 424, ABC News 2020, with Diane Sawyer interview, she interviewed Bruce Jenner, who's now a girl. He's a woman. What does he call himself as a woman? They don't tell you that. Don't they still call him Bruce or something? He's a woman still. It's weird. Now, this one we knew about because they advertised it about a week ahead of time. But before he came up on this slate, we're getting all this other stuff. So I said, okay, here comes the grand finale, you know. Bruce Jenner, great man, decathlon athlete from the Olympics and all that, becomes a woman, right? And so I had this on 424, and we'll go to the clip right now.
Olympics, 1976.
What?
He came to compete in the decathlon, 10 events inspired by the ancient Greeks as the highest test of human endurance and raw masculine power. The challenge of speed, stamina, daring, brute strength, precision, then speed again. There he is, flying over the hurdles. He has just been proclaimed the greatest athlete in the world.
You were the world's
greatest athlete.
Mm-hmm.
So can I take my buddy Cal out? Yeah, why not, huh? We're talking about all this stuff. Yeah, let's take the damn ponytail out.
A symbolic moment after 65 years. In a sense, we start again.
Are you a woman?
Yes, for all intents and purposes, I am a woman. People look at me differently. They see you as this macho male. But my heart and my soul and everything that I do in life, it is part of me. That female side is part of me. That's who I am.
But you understand that people are baffled, confounded. I mean, part of the people who are just...
Yeah, is he gay?
Yes. Are you gay?
No, I'm not gay. I am not gay. I am, as far as I know, heterosexual.
You don't know.
Because it's not...
As far as you know?
As far as I know. I've never been with a guy. I've always been married, you know, raising kids.
Right. And you can desire a woman every bit as much.
Yeah.
He's almost amused by my attempt to walk through this maze.
Again, it's the confusion inside this because...
So much confusion.
Yes. If you are assigned male and you become female, but you like women, are you a lesbian? Are you a heterosexual who...
You're going back to the sex thing, and it's apples and oranges.
So I asked him, what do you want us to call you? And he just interrupted me and just said, I'm dad. You know, you can call me dad. I will always be your dad. And I just held his hand, and I cried with him, and I just told him how proud of him I was and how inspired I was.
The first thing I thought was just like, oh, it finally makes sense.
Dad said, it's not that I'm trying to dress up like a woman. It's that I've spent my whole life dressing like a man.
I think all the traits that I loved about Bruce, she still has.
You know, it's hard for me. He's always answered the phone, you know, what are you doing, big guy? Well, nothing, big guy. And now, you know, would you ever call a female big guy? Like, no, you would not.
We are now in New York, and soon Bruce Jenner will join our interview with his protective older sister, Pam.
I've been proud of Bruce and everything he's done, and I continue to be.
She's lovingly come to be by his side.
Our mother!
And she's very conservative in her thinking, and so, but it's amazing.
Hey, Bruce. I want you to be happy. I love you.
This is Esther Jenner sending a message to her son.
I was very proud of you when you stood on that podium in Montreal. I never thought I could be more proud of you. But I'm learning I can be.
Bruce Jenner has kicked the...
What I'm doing is going to do some good, and we're going to change the world.
Well, this was one of the most famous ones, and they love to get a famous person that does this so they can promote it, so they can encourage other people to do it. So all these other people that had doubts are now going to come out of the closet. Now look, if you're hiding this thing and you're ashamed because you have this transgender demon, and you're a boy, you think you want to be a girl, or you're a man, you think you want to be a woman, and vice versa. If you have that demon, please stay ashamed. Stay feeling guilty because you ought to, because it's not normal. It's a curse. It's not good. Get rid of it. Ask the Catholic God to help you. It's a curse from God. Don't be encouraged by this stuff that they're encouraging people like this so they can come out of the closet. But once you come out of the closet and make the switch and really then go from appearing to be a man to a woman or a woman appearing to a man, then you've committed the worst sin. Then you're worthy of death penalty when that happens. You still would be given, if it was a Catholic country like a Bruce Jenner or these other people, he'd be given a chance to repent for 1 month, but he's dying either way. I say, you got to die for what you did because you had no shame because you came out in public and shoved it in everybody's face. And to make reparation for your blasphemies against God and the natural law, we got to kill you. But we will give you a chance to repent. Yes, even him. We'd give him 1 month. And we pray for him and say, do you want to repent? First, do you want to become Catholic? Then do you want to confess your sins? And then we would still kill him. But if they're secret and you're keeping it hidden and you're ashamed of it and you repent, no, that's not death penalty. The worst ones are the ones that are coming out in the open. And they're trying to drag other people out in the open. And they're trying to infect other people with these demons. Just when I thought this whole charade was over on 424, which is the sixth weekday, I thought it was all over. That's the pinnacle. Well, on the seventh weekday, on 425, I'm watching the hockey game. The New York Islanders are playing the Washington Capitals. It was a great game, you know, real rough game, and the Islanders ended up tying it up. And in between the commercials, you see what's going on the stations. You click through to see if there's any news reports. Well, I clicked over to ABC, ESPN Sports Saturday, and it's called 30 for 30. It's a special documentaries they have, and it was titled Renee, A Matter of Gender. And it had to do with, and everybody may remember this one, that guy, he was a guy, now he's a girl, Renee Richards. He was a doctor, he was a man who became a woman, and when he became, so tried to become a woman, and then he was a professional tennis player and played tennis with the women and won the championship as a woman, but he's still really a man. Now this goes to show you how the natural law comes into play. The tennis people got all angry and said, he shouldn't be allowed to be playing with the women because he's really a man dressed up in a skirt. He might have cut his private part off and tucked it in and did whatever he thought, tried to take hormones to make his breast grow or whatever. He's still a man. And so what they did is they banned him from playing tennis with the women after that because the women said it's not fair. And I think they used the word, you have to be a woman as a woman and not a man, woman as a man playing. They had to make some special rules so you can't have that happening. Now, if he did a real good job and snuck in there, because he happened to look like he tried to look like a woman, didn't do a good job on it, he's a mess, you know. But if he faked him out, you can sneak in there, right? Well, anyway, the whole point is, I says, oh no, another transgender thing. You know, on ABC's 30 for 30 on 425, and it was all about this guy. He was born as a Jew, all right? Then he got married. Then he left his family, became a woman called Renee. His family still don't like, and you know, by the way, some of these other people, like they say, Jenner's family, they make excuses for him. They accept him. What an abomination. They're all guilty too then. But this guy's family don't like what he did. They don't like him. Anyway, and they interview his kids and they don't like what he's doing. That's normal. Yeah. But anybody who condones these people and consoles them and supports them are guilty of sins of omission, and you're equally guilty as he is. Not just of a sin against the moral commandments, but a sin against the faith, against the natural law, because God did not make him that way. And you're condoning him and you're allowing him to continue to live that way, and you're encouraging other people to say, look how nice this is. He's still in a nice, loving family. So we're going to go to a clip and show you. This is what I was looking at this on 425 on the seventh weekday. Here's the clip.
Renee Richards has become the source of international and national controversy over the past week or two. A cause celeb. The reason? Is she male or is she female?
She is a transsexual. 2 years ago, she was Dr. Richard Raskin and was ranked nationally among the top 20 male tennis players over age 35.
It's just overpowering all the other stories. How many transsexuals were in the world at the time? And it just so happens one of them is a professional tennis player. It's like, what are the odds, you know?
I said to her, what do you call yourself? Transgender, transsexual?
I'm a woman like everyone else. Ask me how the match went instead.
Like, how in the world did this happen? This might incentivize more guys to turn into girls or something.
Should she be allowed to play against women opponents?
It was big news. You know, it was sensational. She beat somebody who said afterwards it wasn't fair. I was playing a guy, you know. Her next opponent walked off the court, wouldn't even finish the match.
Some of the lesser players were getting all up in arms, and they almost on a strike mode.
I think that what they are afraid of is the unknown.
Her size, 6 feet one, and her skill have threatened other female players.
You know, what if she comes on and becomes number one? Are we all going to be able to handle that?
I left my son back there to visit him only once a month. I left all my friends there to lead a private, anonymous life with a new name in California.
It's pretty selfish of a guy that, you know, gets married and has a kid and a year later leaves his family to have a sex change and go play professional women's tennis on the news. I mean, it doesn't get much more selfish than that.
Now, in some of these clips, like, and I think with this one, this guy, Renee Richards, he's talking about how he had some boyfriends. Because now he's a girl, you see? See, but he's a homosexual, really, is what he is, because he's still a man, see? Now, the other guy can think he's not a homosexual because he's going with a woman, but it's not a woman, it's really a man, you know? So it gets really confusing. Now, some of these people fake people out, right? But he comes out and he says, I didn't have a lot of boyfriends, but I had some boyfriends, but I never had the kind of love I had when I was with my wife. He made a kind of a statement there, it was pretty interesting. But he couldn't find anybody else to really love him like you would have a regular relationship between a man and a woman, you know?
After Renee came into being, Renee spent years having some sexual activity with boyfriends, a few, not many, a few, but never had the same kind of love that Dick had for women. So something got lost.
The whole thing is so crazy. I was thinking it is so when these people get married. This can get even crazier. What happens if you have a man who tries to become a woman, and then you have a woman who tries to become a man, so she thinks, and they both get married? Then you really have a man marrying a woman, but it's the opposite. It gets crazy, right? But spiritually, it's freaky. But technically, it's really a man and a woman. The thing, it's crazy what we're looking at here.
When you're a child, your mom and dad are the entire universe, and that universe is expanding. Just this week, the lead actor in Transparent, who plays a transgender father, won a Golden Globe. And two little boys in Kentucky are part of this expanding world. Their transgender parents have endured more than most to find each other and to bring them into the world. A mom and dad who haven't told their neighbors they weren't born this way, haven't told them, that is, until tonight. On the surface, the Bowsers may look like an ordinary family.
Do we have tomatoes?
There's mom, Bianca, age 32. Dad, Nick, he's 27. Behind her long black hair and feminine figure, Bianca was born a boy named Jason. And despite his cropped hair and the whisper of a mustache, Nick was born a girl named Nicole.
This is unleashing a monster when you let people walk around like this. And I tell you, stories of guys even that went and were looking at certain women who they liked. I know one friend of mine, let me tell the whole story, looked at this, thought he was a woman. And then when the woman told my friend that she was actually a guy, my friend almost killed him, was it her? It was him. Who became a her. A he-she. That's what they call it, a he-she. My friend almost beat him to death, put him in a hospital, and almost killed him. And they're going to put him in jail. But back then, they didn't put you in jail for stuff like that. They really rewarded you secretly. They even tell you when you're in the paddy wagon, the cops have to arrest you. Good job, son. You should have killed the bastard. But I mean, think about what this is even. You're lying to people. But this, it's a horrible sin against God. This is the world we're living in. Who could doubt we're living in the final days? Homosexuals are getting married. They're all, and look, folks, these are over all the major networks. You don't hear anything about the Christian teaching about against homosexuality and against all this. It's not on the major networks. How does it get on every network in 1 week unless there's one person, the Antichrist, working for Satan through the Jew, through the Freemason, and puts it in our face on TV? And it's going to get worse, folks, because you deserve it. Because you chose these democracies, these evil, filthy democracies, which is evil in itself, along with the fact that the Jews are controlling it and the Freemasons. You want it, you got it. It's all yours. It's filthy. Now, also during this week, when you're watching the news, they had your other top issues that the Antichrist likes to shove in your face. Black radicals rioting in Baltimore again. They had feminist stuff all over the news. One feminist woman had a store, and she said, because women get paid 25% less than men, my store gives women 25% off, but men have to pay full price. Now, they showed the woman, right? And no men were in the store. It was all women. There were a bunch of lesbian witches. It was a lesbian witch store, really. And there's not one man in there. So you're not going to get no men anyway. They had another thing on there about feminism. I forget what it was on. Something about where they forced these military guys to put on high heel red shoes because of the abuse they're having to women.
This is completely unbelievable. The US Army forced cadets at Temple University to participate in a feminist campaign based around the completely debunked and fraudulent college rape culture myth. by wearing spray-painted red high heels. And they were basically told that if they didn't participate, their careers would be over.
They had about three feminist things on. That's big. And you also had, you can't leave this out, the apostate Jews and their Holocaust hoax. They had something on this week about that again from some guy in Germany that was arrested, and they said that he was in Auschwitz and he was the bookkeeper and he's 93 years old. Now they're going to grill the guy. But I think they're going to use him for propaganda purposes. But you see how all these themes come across on the news. There's never anything from even a nominal Christian perspective or anybody else. It's their liberal agenda. It's all over the news. Since Obama's been in office, it's accelerated to the highest degree. And if the Wicked Witch of the West gets in, you know who that is, Hillary, it's going to get even worse. And I'm not making excuses of Republicans. They're not much better because they sit back and allow a lot of this stuff. But a lot of them don't. Some of them don't. So they pull against them a little bit, but never enough. Which brings me to the next point, that anybody who tries to stand up for the natural law even, or quotes Bible scriptures against homosexuality, homosexual marriages, transgenderism, he gets persecuted. He's the guy that they ban, they go to his business and shut their businesses down, try to bring him to court and take away their businesses because they don't serve homosexuals who come into their shops who are outwardly homosexual and flaunted it in their shops. You're getting a lot of that now. Situations where you have somebody where a homo comes in and says, I want you to take pictures of my homo wedding. And this person is either a Catholic or a nominal Christian or somebody who has a natural law and says, I can't do that. It's against my religion. I cannot film your homosexual wedding. They now are going and suing these photographers and they're taking away their businesses. And people who make wedding cakes or stuff like that for these weddings. And they say, I refuse to do it. They want you to put a man and a man on there, or a girl and a girl on the wedding cake, and bring your cake over to the homosexual wedding. They say, I refuse to do it. They're persecuting the bakeries, and they're putting them out of business. One guy says, we're not trying to put them out of business by suing them and bring them to court for hate crimes. We're trying to make them repent. Repent? You're trying to make me repent of holding the natural law? Me repent for saying homosexuality is an abomination? You see, folks, what's going on here? It's a war, us against them. There's no two ways it goes. They want to kill us, I want to kill them. They want to shut me down, I want to shut them down like we shut them down all these years up until recently. When I grew up, it wasn't like this. You almost couldn't act like this. So it is a war. And I'm not asking for no time. I'm saying it's a war. And they know it's a war to homos. That's why it's either their way or our way. It's not both ways. You can't have it both ways. I give you an example of one guy who owns a diesel shop. I was reading it the other day, and he came out on the internet and said, if anybody comes into my shop as a flaunting homosexual, I will not serve him. It's against my Christian beliefs. They had not attacked him on the internet. They called him on the phone, got his phone number, and he had it recorded. One phone person said, I hope that you, your family, your children, and everybody related to you, and your dog, and your animals all die and go to hell. Another one came and said, I hope you get a bulletproof vest because you're going to need it. You see? This is what they're saying to him. Now, this is what I would have said to them. You see? So I'm not, it's a war. But this is the way they are. You see? But he said, this is against their even, or what about free speech? I have a right to my religious beliefs. They broke his windows. They put spray paint all over his place. And they're trying to force him out of business because of that.
Biggest misunderstanding is that I'm a hateful person.
On April 14th, Brian Clowder, who owns Diesel Tech in Granville, posted on Facebook that he would refuse service to an openly gay person.
I think anti-gay is what led everybody to all of this hate. And make no mistake, this is no backpedal. What this is a Christian business owner standing on principles. Nothing has changed from my original statement. I still won't tolerate certain behavior in my shop. And that's never going to change.
His post went viral and led to many hateful comments. His shop has been vandalized, spray painted with graffiti, and windows have also been broken.
You know, we're not intimidated by it. I think it's childish behavior. I think for a community of people that want to display tolerance, I don't think that's the right way to do it.
There has also been a long stream of threats.
Just wanted to let you know, I hope that you and everyone who works there, along with your children and your family and friends, dies and goes to hell.
If I were you guys, I would invest in bulletproof vests.
But there has also been support.
I agree with you, and I'm proud of you for standing your ground.
I just want to tell you, brother, we're praying for you. You stand fast to what you believe in.
Now, 1 week later, Clowder is clarifying his original statement.
The whole idea was started on behavior. If they don't tell me, and they're not coming in here blatantly displaying it, absolutely not. I would fix their vehicle just the same as anyone else's.
And that standard, he says, extends to straight people as well.
Just like there won't be open display of heterosexual immoral behavior in my shop.
Strangely, however, he says he's never had these problems in his shop before.
Has that ever happened in the past?
Nope.
Since it's never happened in the past, why did you kind of feel the need to say it?
Why not? I mean, when is it not time to say this is a message that needs to be out there. People need to start looking around them. Ask me why. I say, why not?
Clowder continues to post his views on Facebook and says he wouldn't change a thing.
I don't think so. I believe we need to stop being politically correct and start being correct. If I said something that offended you, call me out on it, but let's be adults about it.
A governor in Indiana who came out with a good law originally, then he backed down like a coward, had at least people that were trying to obey the natural law, and he came out and passed a law and said people should have a right to refuse homosexuals service in their business. And so what he meant was if they're flaunting it, because if they're not, you don't know he's a homo. If somebody comes in and you don't know he's a homo, you're going to serve him, you don't know who he is. But if he comes in, he's flaunting, he's holding hands, he's mugging it up with his boy, and boy, girl, and girl, and they're showing it off. Or in the case of even a photographer or a baker where you got to go into a homosexual, you can refuse in business. So they try to pass that law. And all your big businesses now, which are Jews and Freemasons, look, folks, these people always believed like this from the beginning of the Jews and Freemasons going back 1,000 years. They always want to indoctrinate people with feminism, homosexuality, drug addiction, pot smoking. It's always been in their agenda. The reason they didn't do it years ago is because they couldn't get away with it. Now the devil has more power than he's ever had before, and now their agendas are succeeding. You can see it all over the place. That's why they're even trying to tell you, oh, I don't want to really put you out of business, but you have to go to that homosexual marriage and take pictures of those homos mugging it up, or we're going to take your business away too. They're telling us, we have to amend our ways. That's what they're telling us. They're even trying to say that Catholic or nominal Christian places that don't want to give contraception to their employees and the thing, they're trying to persecute them for following their religious beliefs. Now, this country, which is founded on freedom of religion, which we don't believe in, because you can see, folks, it doesn't really work. There's one thing our Lord says, obey Caesar in all things but sin. And when you try to tell us to do something sinful, accept it, we don't accept it. Not if we're true Catholics, and not even if you obey the natural law and the things I'm telling you about. Even a Zulu on the island, he could be a pagan. This homosexuality and homos getting married and transgenderism is against the natural law. And it's our job to fight against it tooth and nail and kill them. It's your job to kill us. So let's go to war and see who wins in the end. You're going to seem like you're going to win for a while. When Antichrist comes to power, you're going to be flourishing. But in the end, and when you die, and if you die tomorrow, you're going to hell for all eternity where you're going to burn, and you're going to see just exactly how much this cost you to be blaspheming God, how much the true God is absolutely very angry with you to the highest degree when you die and go to hell for all eternity. Because that's what's going to happen if you continue down this path. Now, let me speak to anybody out there who might have a little bit of goodwill, who's thinking about this. They have these homosexual demons or these transgender demons. They haven't made the decision yet. God did not make you that way. It's a curse that you inherited because of the faithlessness of your parents. And there's devils in there that are making you feel like a woman, act like a woman. You have examples of people who would be quoting about people that lived 100 years ago and said they're living inside me. That's a devil's. You weren't made that way. If you were created as a boy, you're a boy. Nobody can change that. As a girl, you're a girl. Nobody can change that. And God did not create boys to go with boys or girls with girls. If you're feeling like that, it's from the devil. It's a curse. God still loves you as long as you're alive and you can convert. And God wants you to get out of that horrible mess. But you got to go to God. It's a spiritual problem. You weren't made that way. It's not genetics. Forget what this world's telling you. You're miserable and you know it. Your whole life is miserable. Their suicide rate is gigantic and it's deservedly so. So get out of it before it's too late. And if you're a public person has already done it, like made the switch, you can still repent. But if it was a Catholic country, I would still kill you, and I will kill you in public to let people know that this is an abomination what you did. Because this is war. And right now you're going to get divided. You're going to see civil war, not just in the United States, but throughout the whole world, and especially in these countries where they're pushing this agenda. And my hope is that we're going to get most of our conversions from the people who are living a little bit by the natural law more than these lefties. We're going to get more righties and lefties. Lefties are going to be almost completely wiped out by God. But they're going to be in power when they're in power now with the Antichrist. But look, even you have people voting down the homosexual agendas in every state, because most of the people vote against it, then their Supreme Court or their state court judge then votes for it. They're not even listening to the majority of the people like they say they are. But this isn't a matter of majority and minority. It's a matter of God's law. God says it's wrong. And I don't care if 80% of the people believe this is right, and I'm only the 20%. It's still wrong. I'll never accept it. I'll always fight against it. You can lock me up and do whatever you want. If my God wants to fight on my side, which he's going to do with us for you, then you're going to see a little bit of the power of God when he thinks about this stuff. But they got people thinking it's normal, and they got all these people, and they're going to drag now, along with them, a lot of other people into this sin. All right, so my prayer out there is, first of all, for those people who can't stand this stuff, to stand up, don't take it. If they want to take your business away, lose your business. Don't give in. Don't give in to family affections. Don't give in to financial considerations. Stand up for what you know is right. This is against the natural law. Condemn it on the highest rooftops, like I'm sure there are people out there doing that. But then be prepared to lose your job, lose your family, and lose your friends. But then you'll gain new friends if you're going to lose friends like that, then you don't need friends like that who support that kind of stuff. All right, end of lecture. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This curse that transgenders are under is also known as the Romans 1 curse, in which St. Paul says, as they like not to have God in their knowledge, God delivered them up to a reprobate sense. For this cause, God delivered them up to shameful affections. For the women, having changed the natural use into that use which is against nature. And in like manner, the men also, leaving the natural use of women, having burned in their lusts one towards another, men with men, working at which is filthy, and receiving in themselves the recompense which was due to their error. Romans chapter 1, verse 28 and verses 26 to 27. We will now read of the punishment that God will inflict upon all who die as homosexuals, the liars with mankind, or transgenders, the effeminate, or who die guilty of any other mortal sin. Know you not that the unjust shall not possess the kingdom of God? Do not err. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor the effeminate, nor liars with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor railers, nor extortioners shall possess the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 10. See my book, God did not create men to be homosexuals, which also applies to transgenders. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.